we're gonna go over to the book of John, chapter number 4. Meet me over at the book of John, chapter number 4. And now all my place marks are out of order. Man, this is my name. Alright, John chapter 4. We're gonna start reading at verse number 1. I'm kind of gonna go around with chapter 4. We're gonna stay in the book of John. We're just gonna talk about a story tonight, because the Bible is filled with stories, and I like the Bible, and I like stories. So, all right. So, go ahead if you're able. Stand with me as we read God's word. All right. We're gonna start on verse number 1, and we're gonna read all the way down through verse number 7. Okay, so John chapter 4, verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but that's how I'm pronouncing it. Near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Really quick, I was reading through this story, and God opened up something to me that he's laid on my heart, that I believe is what he wants me to give you. I was going to preach about something totally different, but at the last minute God said, no, I got something else for you. So we're going with God's leading. God's leading is always with us. He led the children out of Egypt. He protected them. And, you know, we're just going to trust God tonight. But let's pray, and then we'll get right into the message. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we get to come before you. We get to worship. We get to hear your word. We get to sing songs of praise to you, God. It's so wonderful that we get to call you our God. And Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity, Lord. I just ask that you be with us. Father, be with me. Help me to be a conduit. Help me to get out of the way, Father, that your word would be more important than whatever I'm saying, Father, that your word would have the absolute, have the last standing, Lord, and that something, whether however you want to use it, whether it be a verse in the Bible, whether it be a word I say, a phrase I say, a phrase that comes from your word, however it be, Lord, to get someone's heart, to grab a hold of them, to change them and use it to help their lives, to be better for you, to do more for you, I ask that you would make that happen tonight, Lord. Just take me out of the picture. I don't want to be the center of attention. I want you to get all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, Lord, and I just ask that you would get that tonight and just be with us. Send your Holy Spirit. Speak to us now in your name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty. So I'm looking at this. I'm going to kind of give a little bit of background. So Jesus right now, as we read verse number 1, talking about how the Lord knew the Pharisees, they heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples. And as that was happening, Jesus understood. He was like, okay, they're going to try, but it's not his hour yet. It's not his time to be crucified. So he says, okay, I'm going to go. But something that caught my eye when I was reading it is, in verse number 3, it says, he left Judea. Okay, so he left and departed again into Galilee. Okay, so he's on his way. But then verse number 4 comes up, and it comes up exactly in the middle after he left, and it says that he must needs. He doesn't just need. He doesn't just, oh, well, I want to take a detour. No. And he must needs. There was a need there that he was to go through Samaria. Now, a lot of times when you're just reading through, you kind of just go through and you're like, okay, Samaria, it's another place, another place that they're going. But the background of Samaria was an area with people that were called Samaritans. The reason they were Samaritans is because you've got that in the Old Testament during the captivity. you had it where the Assyrians came. They came in, and the Assyrians came in, and they took took God's people, the Israelites, captive. Well, then after a little while, the Assyrians and the Israelites started mixing, and when they started mixing, that's where we come up with Samaritans. So Samaritans were in a sense the lowest end. They were half breeds, is what people were known as.
No.
And as they would know that, now it's half breeds, yes, but it was something that the Jews didn't want to associate with them. The Jews didn't want to even talk to them. The Jews didn't even consider them a part of them. They said, "You are those people, and we are these people. We are Jews, and you are Samaritans." They gave them a specific title, okay? But the real crazy thing here that I see is he had a need. He had a need. And tonight, I'd like to bring this message. Pretty much, I'd like to bring this message is, we have a need. We have a need.
Wow.
Now, I'll get back to the actual title, and I'll clue it in at the end, so we're all together on the same page. But I want us to go through this story, and I want us to go through the story together, because there's some key things that I'd like to point out that Jesus had to do and had to overcome. Yes, he had a need, but there were certain things that he had to overcome to accomplish that need. If we go down, we're gonna go back to John chapter 4, same chapter we've been in, and I'm gonna continue reading a little bit. Okay, verse number 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. I want to stop right there, and the first thing I want to say is, yes, we have a need, but in order to accomplish that need, we've got to get over the obstacles. Jesus had an obstacle here. Now, if you go back and you look at the path that Jesus took, he had two paths to choose from. There was a path that was much easier, and he could have taken that path. But there was also a path that people describe it as an arduous journey. There's the big word for the night, arduous. That word means a hard, a tough, hang on. I'll give you the exact definition. I have it written. Here we go. Arduous. Involving or requiring strenuous effort. Difficult or tiring. Okay. Now, what's strenuous? So I went and looked up strenuous because I wanted to know exactly what this word was saying, what an arduous journey would be. So strenuous is requiring or using great exertion. Then I went a little step further. I said, okay, well, what's exertion? Exertion is a physical or mental effort. When you go through and you look at it and you see, and John R. Rice was the one that I was reading. He was commenting that Jesus had an arduous journey, and when I went through, he was talking about how he went to Israel and he was able to go to the Holy Lands, and he was able to be at the burial of where Jesus was buried. He was able to go and see the Sea of Galilee. He was able to see these different places because he took a journey out there. And when he was out there, they were talking about the journey that Jesus took in this story. The journey that he took to get to the Samaritan woman, the road that he took, where that well was, and what terrain Jesus had to go through to get there. And he was talking about how when he was over there, they were saying, and they went on the trip, I forget how long it was, it precedes me at the moment, or leaves me at the moment, but they told him, and they took him on the trail, and it was uphills, over hills, sharp turn, and there was a lot in this journey that Jesus took to get to this woman. But you know, he had a need. This woman, there was something that the woman needed. The woman needed something, and Jesus said, "Hey, I got a need, and I'm going to go fulfill it. I'm going to go fill this need because there's someone that is hurting. There's someone that needs me."
Yep, come on.
If I could just say tonight, there's someone that needs you.
Yeah.
It may be that there's a family member that needs you to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that you need to actually go out and do something. There may be a need that's right at home. There's all sorts of needs. But the need that Jesus had a need. His need was to see this woman saved.
Mm-hmm.
His need was to get to that well. And when he got to that well, he didn't stop there. Because it says right there in verse number 6, being weary. He was tired. He had just got beaten by the path and finally made it to the well. And when he got to the well, what did he do? Let's read it. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. He was so tired, he said, you know, the well is not a seat. You do not go and say, hey, I want to take a seat. I'm going to sit on the edge of the well because it's a nice seat. No. If you want to take a seat, you're going to take a seat in a chair. But he was so tired, he didn't care where he sat. He said, I see a well. Well, you know, I've been going and going. I need to take a rest. So he sat on the well. But he didn't stop there. Yes, he was tired. And yes, all he could find was the well, so he's going to sit there. But he didn't stop there. Because he had a need.
Yeah.
And his need was the woman that was going to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
But we all get tired. As verse number 6, Jesus got tired. Jesus was human just like me and you. But he was God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. So even though, yes, he is God, but he also has his tendencies like us. Where we get tired, Jesus got tired. We get hungry, Jesus got hungry. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness devil told him, hey, make these stones bread. If you're God and I'll make the stones bread. And that was after he did a 40-day fast.
Right.
So he's hungry. He is hungry, and that is a temptation. But the only difference between Jesus and us is he didn't do what the devil said.
Yeah.
He answered back, and the way he answered, it is written. He used God's word.
That's right. Come on.
Against the devil. And that's the only way that we can ever, ever fight against the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But as I see that he was tired, and there's times in our lives where we get tired.
Yeah.
There's times, and I can attest to this, there's been times where, hey, I'm going to say it, there's been times where I didn't really want to go to church.
Yeah, come on.
It's a battle. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that when you are weak or when you are down, he knows. He knows when that happens. And he knows exactly how to hit you, exactly how to get your buttons. He can push those buttons so well. He knows how to do it. He's been doing it for ages.
Yeah.
You're not the next one that, oh, I found a way around it. No.
No.
It's the same thing. It happens to me. Happens to Brother Dennis. I'm pretty sure it happens to Brother Britt, right? The devil knows. He knows what our buttons are. He knows what our image, what is the needle that's gonna? What's that phrase? I can't even think.
Break the camel's back.
The needle that's gonna break the camel's back. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I need help sometimes. But the devil knows, and he'll attack those moments. Those moments when we're weak. Those moments when we're not, in a sense, having a right sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to attack those moments. And right here, when Jesus was weak, and he was tired, and he was sitting on that well, and he could have said, you know, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to tell this woman about me. But you know, a lot of times, we're the ones sitting on the well. But the difference is, we won't actually speak up when the woman comes.
Come on, help us.
We won't actually say, hey, I've got the news, and let me tell you about it. It's great. Let me tell you about this news. This news is amazing. It's called eternal life.
Yeah.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you know, at points in our lives, we get tired, and we get weak, and we just say, you know, I can always do it another day.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if that next day, the person that you were supposed to talk to,
come on,
is no more?
Yep.
I've been out a couple times where I've not wanted to get out of the car before. I've heard a preacher even say from the pulpit, he told us one time, he said, you know, he was a missionary, and he was out on the field. He was supposed to go, and he was supposed to try and knock some doors and talk to some people one day. And he got in his car, and as he was in his car, he pulled up to the street, and he was going to get out. But he was so beat, he was so mentally beat, so physically tired, and he was sitting there looking out at the houses, and he was trying to will himself to get out and to go and to go knock on the doors and tell people about Christ. And he had his Bible, he had everything ready. And he turned his car off even. And he just couldn't get out. He just couldn't get the strength to open that door and go knocking again. Because prior to this, he's been knocking for, I believe it was for, my facts might be a little messed up, but I believe it was for 2 years. He was knocking. No answers. Doors in his faces. No one wanted to talk to him. Nothing. 2 years. Every Saturday he would go out and he'd knock every time. And he just kept doing it. Because he knew. God said, hey, go. And Mark, it talks about how the Great Commission, go ye unto every creature and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature.
Right.
But as he was sitting there, and he was so weak and he was so tired, he took his keys out and he rolled that. He had his window rolled down and he threw his keys out the window. Now, the reason he threw them is because he knew that he could not go home if he did not have the keys.
Yep.
He could not mentally, though, get himself out of the car, but then when he saw the keys and his way home,
yes,
he has to get out.
Yeah.
He is now forcing himself. He's at the point where Jesus is. He's sitting on the well, but he doesn't want to talk to the person that's going to come. He doesn't want to tell him about the great news. So the preacher threw his keys out to make himself do what he's supposed to do.
Come on.
Because it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, there's always a need to tell someone about Jesus.
You're right.
There's always a need to go out there and hand a tract to someone. There's always a need to call someone over, whether you're at a restaurant or whether you're just out in public. There's always a need.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, we get so sidetracked with our
lifestyles. Come on.
We get so sidetracked because, okay, well, I'm tired today. Or let's take the tired out of the equation. Oh, well, I'm in a rush. I can't stop and do that. But you know, I believe that Jesus, at this time, he could have been going anywhere else. He could have said, hey, I got more people. I can reach a whole lot more people if I just keep going to the next city.
Mm-hmm.
I can reach a whole lot more people if I just go do a miracle over here, if I just go heal with someone over here. And he could have said that. He could have made any other excuse.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
I'm not saying it to beat you. I'm in the boat too, where hey, sometimes I do it. And I try not to do it. But there's sometimes where I'm walking by and I say, oh, well, you know, I'm in a hurry and I can't tell someone. Or, oh, I'm in a hurry. I've got this great treasure and I can give you it. But you know, I'm just gonna keep going. And a lot of times that's what we do.
Hmm.
And I'm beating myself up here. I'm not up here just to bam, bam. No, I'm hitting myself. Each time I hit you, it ricochets and smacks me right back.
Come on.
So there's nothing that I'm saying that doesn't apply to both of us. But the thing is that Jesus still did what was right.
Yep.
And he told the lady. We see he was wearied from his journey. He sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, and then there came a woman. And we all know that this woman was a Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
And if, okay, I'm going to read for you verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria, so Jesus already told her, said, give me to drink, in verse 7. Okay, so now he is talking. He is talking to the woman. And as he's talking to her, she replies back to him and says, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And the reason they have no dealings is just like I explained earlier. They're half-breeds. They are the lowest of the low.
Right.
They're so low that they would be, if you thought about it, the best way to explain it would be they were the people that you would see if we went back to grade school. Okay, if we went back to grade school, we're all in grade school, and there's someone, you've got the popular kids, you've got the kids that kind of hang out with themselves, and you got the kids over here, and these kids are like, I don't know what I really want to do. And then you've got the bullies, okay? And the bullies, they pick on the kids that are smaller than them.
Right.
They pick on, aka, the nerds, or the people that look like easy targets.
Right.
Okay? Now, the reason I say that is because the Samaritans, they didn't have dealings with Jews.
Mm-mm.
Because they were the lowest of the low.
Right.
They said, nah, you're not part of us. Even though technically they were, because they are half-breed. But the Jews said, we don't even want to include you guys. Yes, you guys have a part, and yes, you guys are kind of part of us, but we're just going to leave that out. And so no Jew would ever go and talk to them. No Jew would ever just walk up. And that's why right here the woman is saying, why are you speaking to me? What? Why are you talking to me? You shouldn't even acknowledge that I'm here. You should just let me get my water and be on my way. Why are you saying anything to me? But Jesus answers and tells her. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it, verse 10, is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living rock water. Now the woman at this point is wondering, okay, what on earth are you talking about? Because she says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? And she starts questioning him, asking him, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, his children, his cattle? And she's at the point where she's like, you're just, in a sense, she's saying, you kind of went to the loony farm. I don't know what you're talking about. You don't even have anything to draw with, yet you're telling me you're going to give me some living water? Where is this coming from? Hello? That's like people that you meet, that they'll say, there's some people, depending on where you go, if you go to Chicago and you start walking down the street, there's some people that if you start talking to, they'll start telling you a lot of different stories.
Mm-hmm.
And stories they be, because, yeah, there's some far-fetched stories. But what's going on is Jesus, he overcame his obstacle of being tired. He had a need, he overcame the obstacle of being tired. But he still had the need, even though he overcame his obstacle of being tired, he still had that need. So he started talking to the lady. So he starts a conversation. And they're going through and they're talking. But you know, he had another obstacle come up. Because at this point, now the woman is questioning back to him of what he said. At this point, you would think of it as if you've ever gone out and knocked on a door and told someone about Christ. You get to a point where when you talk to them, you have to ask them a difficult question. Because in especially today's society, they don't like this question. And the question you got to ask them is, if you died today, do you know 100% that you're going to heaven? That's a difficult question. You ask me, why is that a difficult question? Well, certainly, I'll tell you why. Because the world doesn't know or doesn't believe.
Yep.
They either don't know or they don't believe. Those are the two responses. And me and my wife, we went out and we knocked, we were knocking on some doors. And we got to meet this man. He was on a motorcycle. I knocked on his house door and he didn't answer. And I went to walk away. And we were walking away. He pulls up on his, it wasn't a Harley, but he pulls up on something that looks like a Harley. It was close. I don't know exactly what it was because I forgot to ask him. But he pulls up and we're talking and I introduce myself. I tell him who I am. I tell him from Glenite Baptist Church and we're just out here visiting. And I invite people to church. And so I got to talk to him and went up halfway through the conversation after I learned his name is John. Then I got to ask him, I was like, okay, so I don't want to scare you, but I have to ask you a question. If something were to happen to you, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? And he told me, oh yeah, I'm going to a Pentecostal church. And, oh, well, that's not the answer I look for.
Right.
Because I don't care what church you go to. I don't care whose teaching you sit under. I don't care what you do. Because none of that's getting you to heaven.
Right.
There's one way to get to heaven.
That's right.
And that's why he, in a sense, this would be his question, hey, did you die or not? Or if you died, do you know you're going to heaven? And that would be, in a sense, his question. Because this living water, there's a well right here. But you're going to tell me living water, yeah, you got nothing to draw
from. Good.
Okay, you're kind of loopy. But he answers her, and verse 13, Jesus answered, and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So what Jesus is doing here, as he's talking with this woman, is he's going back and forth with her because he wants her to understand. He wants her to learn what it is that he's given. He's going to give her eternal life. But he doesn't come out and say, well, you know what you need to do? You need to pray and ask God into your heart right now. No. If you go up to a door, or if you go up to a person in general and you try and do that, they're not going to listen to you. They're gonna say, that's nice. I'll see you later. I'm walking around you, very cautious. I'm not going to keep my eyes. If I don't make eye contact, that means the crazy person won't talk to me no more. But as you see here, he had some things he had to overcome. His first was the obstacle of him being weary. His second thing was talking with this lady, was actually speaking to her. And as he continues to speak, hang on, I have my notes, but I have to go to the next page. There we go. If we flip over to verse 26 really quick. 26. Jesus saith unto her, so we're still talking to the woman. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What he's saying right now, if 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell all things. Because he just told her. Because he said, hey, you need to bring your husband with you first. Go back, get your husband, bring him here. And she said, sir, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right. You've had five. And the one that you're with now is not your husband. He's not your own. This thou hast said true. And he said that to her. And so she was like, are you a prophet? How do you know all this? And he explained, no. He explained, I'm not the prophet, but I'm who you need.
Yeah.
And that's where we come to, is when the Messiah comes, which is called Christ, when he has come, he'll tell us all things. So she knew about the Messiah. She knew that there was a person that was to come that would save the world.
Mm-hmm.
But not the way that she thought. And not the way that the people thought of of that time. When you take a look at the New Testament, you've got four books in the beginning that are very crucial: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the four Gospels. Now, the four Gospels, they each tell a story about Jesus' life. When you read through the book of Matthew, you've got Matthew, and Matthew, what he does is he portrays Jesus as a king. Because Matthew was written for the Jews, they needed to see his lineage. That's why if you read through Matthew, you've got the first whole chapter talking all about where Jesus came from. When you go to the book of Mark, I got the right notes now. I had the wrong ones before. But when you go through Mark, when you read through Mark, Mark was written to show Jesus as a servant. When you go through to the book of Luke, you've got Luke, and he's the doctor, and he shows Jesus as the perfect man. But then when you get to John, John's the best one, in my opinion. It's all good, but I like John the best because he shows Jesus as God. He doesn't just take Jesus and show him like anyone else. Everyone showed him differently. But I like how John did it because John said, look, this is Jesus, and he's God. He's God in the flesh, but he's human, yes. He's got the same tendencies as us, but he's God in the flesh. And as you see this, it's portrayed here, even through this story. He's telling her, when he gets to that verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that has come to save the world. I'm the one that has come to be the deliverer. But they thought that Jesus was coming to deliver him, to deliver them as a whole, differently. They thought he was going to come riding on a horse, shining armor. I'm here to take out these evil leaders, and I'm going to... But you know, that's not how he came.
Yeah, that's right.
He came as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And just looking through and looking at this story, the main thing that I want to point out for you, if I could, is go down to verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The full thing right here, going through, meeting the woman, overcoming the obstacle, talking to the woman, all of it comes down to the very simple fact, Jesus was doing the will of God. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Who sent him? God sent him. He's doing the will of God by going out and telling someone about Jesus. By going out and telling them, hey, look, there's a Savior. There's someone who's come. I am He. I'm the one that's going to save you. I'm the one that's going to take away your sins. I'm the one that is going to open up a new door for you, in a sense. We're done with the sacrifices of the lambs. We're done with the sacrifices that you have to do every single time that you mess up, that you make a mistake. But now I've come, and I'm the one that's going to take your sin away. I'm the one that is going to open that new door to where now we have one, a mediator with the Father. We can go to him right away. There's no more of, we have to go to the high priest, and the high priest has to go for us and give our sacrifice, and he's the only one that can step into the Holy of Holies to take away the sin. No more.
Yeah.
Now, I've come.
Amen.
And I've come specifically for you. for that one person because he had a need to go through Samaria.
Yeah.
He came for that one person. There's one person in our lives, whether it be someone that we walk by every day, whether it be someone that's just on our mind, whether it be someone that we work with, whether it be someone that we've seen on our way to work, there's someone that has a need to hear from us.
Right.
There's someone that is watching you at work. There's people that are watching us at work. There's people that are watching us walk down the street from our house. There are people watching that know you, and they have a need. And you have the answer for them.
Yeah.
But you know, just having the answer is not enough.
That's right.
Jesus had the answer, but if he would have just sat on that well, that answer doesn't matter.
That's right.
It wouldn't have been shared. It wouldn't have been known. If he just sat there, let her get her water, let her go on her way, she would have been done. She would not have heard about Jesus. She would not have got saved. But what I want to bring it all around to is we need to go.
Yep.
I'm going to flip through a couple of passages really quick. I'm going to read them. And then it's going to end, but I just got a couple passages. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, or actually, yeah, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Right.
Verse 19, go. Wait, go with me. We're going to go to Mark, chapter number 16. Oops, I don't have the pages. And we're going to read number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God's already given us that commandment. But wait. But let's continue here. Let's run over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to go with that verse, that famous verse, verse 8. Now, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria. See, he said Samaria. He said Samaria for a reason. There's a purpose.
That's right.
Every word that's written in the Bible is there on purpose. Whether
that's
right. It be an and, whether it be a but, whether it be a comma. It's all important.
Yep.
And he said Samaria. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. God said go in Matthew. God said go in Mark. God said you're going to be witnesses, and he told us different places, and even the last part, under the uttermost part of the earth. There's a trend going on here.
Mm-hmm.
God says go. Because Jesus knew that woman was there. Jesus knew before he even left Judea, he knew that woman would be there. Because he had a need. But we all have a need.
Yeah.
And that need is to go and give the gospel. That need is to tell someone about Jesus. That need is to go and give the good news. Someone gave us this good news. Mm-hmm. If you've been saved any length of time, whether it's been a week or whether it's been 10 years, someone had to step out of their comfort zone.
Yep.
Someone had to take that step and had to say, okay, I know there's a need and I'm going for it. I know there's a need. I know there's all these obstacles. I don't have to tell them. I can stay home. I don't have to go to church. But you know, I'm going to go. And they kept doing that. And because they did that, you're saved today. Because they did that, I'm saved today.
Yep.
I would not, if I did not have a mom that said, hey, I want you in church on Sunday mornings, I probably wouldn't be here today. I'm probably sure I wouldn't be. But you know, I had a mom that said, well, Jesus says to go to church, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Okay, So, you know, I'm going to go to church. And you see that there is a need. There's a need to reach this world for Christ. There's a need to go. If there was not a need to go, God would not have said it two times. Not only two times, he said it much more, but two main times in Scripture, in two different books. He would not have said to go like that if he didn't want us to go. If we could have just stayed home and just sat back, did nothing. Oh, I'll pray. Yes, pray. Please, Lord, save people. Amen. No. Now, God says to pray still. And yes, you pray. But you know, you go. Because God said to go. You go because Jesus is our example. And he already did that when he went to meet the woman at the well. He didn't care that the journey was going to be hard. He didn't care that he was going to have to speak up and tell people. He didn't care because he was doing the will of God. And that's what made him happy. He didn't care about anything else. He cared about, there is a need, and I'm going to go. And that's what God tells us. God says there's a need still. That need has not gone away. That need has not died down. That need is still very present. There is a real hell and there is a real heaven. And there's a lot of people that are going to be going to a real hell and not a real heaven. Because we're not out there sharing. We need to get out there and share. If we don't know how to share, we need to find someone who does. Who can show us, hey, how do I share my faith? How do I tell someone about Christ? How do I tell them how they can be saved? Then we need to find out. I know Brother Dennis knows how. I know myself. I've led a couple different people. I keep a Soul Winners New Testament. I always have it on me. And what I do is when I talk to someone, if they have accepted Christ as their Savior and they've trusted Christ, I go back to my back of my Bible. I write their name and I write the date because I want to remember these people. Because one day I'm going to see them again. They're going to be up in heaven with me. Because I went out and I told someone. And that's what God wants us to do. And I can go back through here and I can pray. 5/13/17. May 13, 2017. Sharon trusted Christ as her Savior. I can pray for her. Carlos on July 21st of 2018. He trusted Christ as his Savior. I can pray for her. Christina, July 21st, 2018. Trust Christ as their Savior. I can pray for them. I don't do this for my benefit. There's nothing I get out of a name in the back of my Bible besides knowing that they're going to heaven. That's the only thing I get. And when I get that, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about angels rejoicing when one sinner comes to repentance. God wants us to go. God wants us to reach this world. Whether it be just one person at a time. He did it one person at a time with the woman at Samaria. He just wants us to go. He just wants us to go. Because there is a real need. And, like Pastor Dennis said on Sunday, God needs you.
Yep.
Yes, he can do plan B. And, hey, sometimes he has to. But he's got a plan A. That plan A is so much better. That plan A, that's what he wants for you. So, my question tonight, church, is will you go? Will you go? Because there is a need. We all have a need. This whole world, this lost and dying world that's going to hell, has a need. We got the answer. Man. But we need to go. We need to go. Every head bowed, every head bowed.